Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. If you are visiting with us today, we ask that you sign the guest book out in the narthex if you haven't done so already. And please join us downstairs afterwards for fellowship of tea, coffee, juice, and lots of sweets. There are a number of announcements that I was going to leave for you to read, but I'm not now. I'd like to draw to your attention the Christian Children's Fund. This is the last Sunday. Heather has a table set up and she is ready for your business. So please come and speak to Heather. Please make sure you read about the Advent tea, the poinsettia fundraiser. You should all have a form in your bulletin. Don't feel the need to fill it out during the sermon or anything, but you know, just make sure you fill it out and have it ready to go. Let's see what else I'm supposed to do. One other thing, I believe that was it. Burl has asked me to announce that the Christmas Wonders wish list, so this is the school project we've been doing for a number of years. Names will be ready to hand out next week at fellowship. There will be envelopes inside, will be the instructions. For those of you who have done it before, the instructions have changed slightly. So she's asking that everybody make sure that you read those instructions and you're aware of what's changed and how to do it. The most important thing is that she asks that you not return the gifts early because we have nowhere to store them. And don't return them late because then the children won't get them. So please make sure you speak to Burl if you have any questions and she would be happy to answer any of your questions. Bruce?
See how that works, Brenda? When you say good morning and you wait.
Yeah.
We're a comedy team. I'm just going to do it. This week is the final week that we'll be doing our study on the Apostles' Creed. Thanks to those for coming out, and there's a bit of a break in there as well, and thank you for bearing with that. And it's going very well, and it's been a very good study with the DVD that we've been using. I am prepared to offer a four-week-long Advent study on Wednesdays at 11 at the same time, basically. I know this is a busy time of year, can become a busy time of year, and normally we don't haven't had a Bible study during Advent, but I think this would be something nice to do leading up to Christmas and Advent. So it would be on Wednesdays at 11, and let me know. I'll be sending out an email in my newsletter, and you can let me know that way, or you can certainly call the office or speak to me just to say, yeah, I'd be interested in coming to some or all of that, and then I'll proceed. The other thing in your bulletin, you'll notice that there's a mention of the Creef Hills Christmas buffet lunch, cost of $18 per person, and we're going there on Wednesday, December the 12th at noon, and so there goes one of my Bible study days right there. We'll adjust accordingly, and we'd like to invite as many as we can to come to this. We have 36 places reserved, and last year, I know we've pretty much filled up that kind of number, so we're hoping to do that again this year. Let us know here, and you can see that in the announcement. It's a great dinner and a great time together to not only meet the Creef Hills staff, but often there's other people from other churches there and a chance to meet with them. The last thing I wanted to announce is something I get excited about every year. I don't know if everybody else does, but before the service is starting next week, okay, next week is December 2nd, it's Advent 1, and it's Communion. At 10:20 in the morning, we'll be starting our first 10 minutes up to 10:30 to do Christmas carols, so as we've done in the past. So church is really going to start at 20 after 10. And I know that means everybody will get here at 10:29, or 10:19, pardon me, 1 minute before. But please keep that in mind if you can get here that 10 minutes early, and we'll have an opportunity to sing some Christmas carols during this whole season as we move into Advent and Christmas. Those were lots of announcements. I know there's lots in the bulletin. Please keep this in mind. Put it on your fridge. There's lots of things to keep in mind over the next number of weeks. Let's take a moment to calm our hearts and prepare our hearts for worship this morning. We light the Christ candle this morning to remind us that Christ is the light of the world and he truly is our King.
The responsive call to worship as in your bulletin. Grace to you and peace from the one who is and who was and who is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.
The Lord is full of glory.
Our first hymn is 528. Please note that we will be singing it to the tune of 699 for those of you who are following the music.
Please be seated. Trusting in the power of God, not only to fashion the world, but to mend and refashion our hearts. Let us remind ourselves and God and come in confession to him about the times when we have stepped away from his path. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Sovereign God, come to us now in silent, holy power. Still our distracted minds. Still our bruised hearts. Still our longing bodies. And then speak to us, Lord, the power of Jesus' name and in such a way that we might hear it, in such a way that we might bear it into the world as a people who seek not to preserve what we know, but to make palatable you who are for we, us, and move through us, and pray by the gift of your breath within us. Holy One, we dare to call you Lord, but yield you only fragments of our lives. You had nowhere to lay your head, Lord, and we surround ourselves with comfort. We expect to serve you with what remains after we've indulged our desires very often, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you will forgive our greed, are times when we lack trust in you. The times, Lord, when we desire to pick the times and places that will respond to your call. In your abundant mercy, Lord, teach us what it means to follow, even at the cost of our lives, you who are our King, our God, our Savior, and our Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and now gather together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our experience with God is an experience of sight and sound. It's an experience that involves all of our senses in our body and in our spirit and in our mind. Beloved, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It cannot be contained, but it must be poured out. Listen to that pouring out of God's love. The waters of our baptism given to us by King Jesus seal the fact that we belong to Him and that we listen to Him only. Believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and we can now live as people truly set free. Amen. Thank you, choir, so much. That's a very nice piece. I'm very moved by that. Thank you. We'll sing now our children's hymn number 78, This is the Day. And during the second verse, we'll have the children come forward for a time together. 78, This is the Day. Please be seated. Well, we have a special Sunday that we're celebrating today, and I mentioned it earlier. This is Christ the King Sunday, and our Christ, well, it won't even fit me. Look at that, see? It's a pretty big one, and it's getting a little bent. Maybe we'll get a new one soon. But this is to remind us that Jesus is King, and what's a king do? Any ideas? And then you, and then you. Helps people.
Rules the world.
He rules his kingdom, right? Maybe not the whole world. He might want to. Yeah, you got one? Yeah, he's a ruler, and what he's in charge, right? He makes the laws, and People honor the king and obey the king. And we have a king in the name of Jesus. And today is the day in which we remember that. As we read through our scripture readings today, and you learn in Sunday school, there's a number of times when people ask Jesus, what exactly do you mean by king? But there's a line that Jesus, I'm going to put this back up here, there's a line that Jesus says when he's being spoken to, that the people who belong to me, listen to me. The people who belong to me, listen to me. So the people who are my subjects as the king belong to me. But you know, we're not just subjects of the king. We're actually in the king's family. Now what happens if you're in the king's family eventually? You'll become queen or king, exactly. So you know what? I wanted you to come over here around the baptismal font here for a moment, because this baptismal font here represents something that the king does for us. And when we got baptized, he claimed us as his own and made us part of his family. And I wanted to do something special today with you. Can I do that, do you think? Okay, we'll start with Madeline. Yeah, Madeline's not so sure. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to put a little cross with water right there, just to remind you that you belong to Jesus the King, and because of that, you get a crown.
Did you get this at a restaurant?
No, I did not. They don't say any kind of restaurant on it. I'm going to put a little cross on your forehead too, Kayla, and I'll give you a cross, or a crown as well. Yes, you get to keep the crown. Of course you do. That just lets everybody know. And you remind you, oh, you know what, you may need help. Michelle and Donna can help you with the rest of them. We got two anyway going. Who's next? Are you next? This is to remind you that you belong to Jesus and you're in his family. And you get a crown too. And Miss Donna can help put that together. You can get that on. And I've got lots more in here somewhere. Here we go. You next? Are you next? Okay. You belong to Jesus, and you're part of his family, too. And Miss Donna can help put your crown together and put it on your head. Good job.
Is there different colors of crowns?
Well, we're all using red today. And you belong to Jesus as well. And Donna can help you put yours on. And then get it in there. Good job, you belong to Jesus. Now, just before we leave, can we just say a little prayer, boys and girls? Come on over here together. Wait for the last crown to get on. Pressure, no pressure. Well, we'll get it. We can put it on in a minute. Good enough for it to put it on just now. You can fix it at Sunday school. Okay, let's hold our hands, and we'll say a little prayer together. Okay, that's your crown. Okay. All right. Lord, we thank you for these children. We ask you to bless them and help them to remember that they are your part of your family, blessed and anointed by you. The waters of their baptism, Lord, claims them as part of their family. They are inheritors and inheritance to the kingdom of God. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. And off to Sunday school. And we'll sing that last verse of our hymn, Seated, please. As we prepare to hear God's word this morning, I want to take a moment to invite the Spirit of God to open our minds and our hearts to be able to hear what God has for us this day. Let's bow our heads. Spirit of truth, Spirit of the Lord, move now in these very ancient words. Move through our cluttered hearts and minds that we can hear your voice and live. Lord, we do long to be glad servants of your hidden holy reign, for you are our God and our King. We pray this now in the name of Jesus, who is not only our King, but the Prince of Peace. Amen. Our responsive psalm this morning is taken from Psalm 132, verses 1 to 12, and you'll find that in your psalters, in your pews. Most psalms are a little bit difficult to associate with an exact time in history. Some of them we can guesstimate pretty clearly, especially in relation to the history of Israel. But Psalm 132 is a bit of an exception to this dating issue because it describes a liturgical version of the narrative of David's movement of the Ark of the Lord from Ja'ar to Jerusalem. And a few years ago when we did a series on David, when that took place, he took it from the city where it had been hidden from the Philistines, and he danced all the way in front of the ark from Ja'ar to Jerusalem. So there's a lot of going on of ceremony here involved, not only with the idea of the altar being brought into the house of God, but also that David is the king. And it's a great psalm for us as we recall and remember that Christ is our king. Psalm 132, verses 1 to 12.
O Lord, remember in David's favor all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. We heard of it in Ephrath. We found it in the fields of Ja'ar.
Let us go to the mighty place of the Lord. Let us worship at the Lord's
Rise up, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. The Lord swore to David a sure oath, for which God will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne.
Thank you, Brenda. We see there, too, the promise of the coming Christ as King. Our Old Testament reading is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 23, and that's page 229 in the Old Testament part of your pew Bibles. This particular reading can be divided. It's a short reading, but it can still be divided into sort of three segments, if you like. And it's talking about the prophetic oracle. It's talking about a just ruler. And it concludes with a statement about the fate of the godless. And this is all, again, about David's reign, and we're continuing in this concept of the king that is and the king that is to come. And this is the end of David's life as he recites this, and Solomon will soon be taking his place. But we know that God has made a promise to David, and that promise is fulfilled for us as Christians through Jesus. 2 Samuel 23, beginning at verse 1. Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made me with an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But the godless are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch them one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. Our New Testament reading is taken from the book of Revelation, one of the few times in the lectionary reading where Revelation is included, and it's Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. B, but the second half of 4 anyway, and that's found on page 245 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. And Revelation is a hard one to read. It's got lots and lots and lots of imagery throughout it, but it is structured, if you look at it, like any other epistle or letter that Paul and others have written. It starts with an introduction, and we see that in today's reading. It talks about the different churches in Asia Minor and in through Greece. And as we know, it's addressed to them in those first three verses that aren't included in this particular one and describes them in detail. It is now spending this time as an introduction to the prophecy or the vision that John has. It's talking about Jesus and him being the king. Revelation 1, beginning at verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests, serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Our gospel reading is taken from John chapter 18, page 82 in your pew Bibles. This is the end of Jesus' time. It's a kind of a pre-Easter, Good Friday kind of a reference here, but it's equating this King Jesus. It's bringing us to the end of our liturgical year. It's the conversation between Pilate and Jesus about who he is as king. And as you know, when I get talking at some of the Bible studies that we've had here over the years, I talk a lot about the history involved and all the problematic situations that people run into with Jesus. Jesus is being brought to Pilate clearly because he says he's king. Well, nobody can do that. That's like saying I'm now in charge of the whole realm. And Pilate's questioning him on this because this is what would be considered a capital offense to do that. You're trying to undermine or overthrow even the government of the day or the king of the day. So Pilate's talking to him, trying to establish, what do you mean by you're the king? And Jesus has an interesting conversation again. We're very familiar with, but let us remember that Jesus is our king, but his kingdom is something that is very different than what Pilate is understanding in this conversation. John 18, beginning at verse 33. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask me this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation, the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the word of God. We'll join now in our next hymn, number 797, "Shall We Gather at the River?"
Thank you.
Please be seated. Ralph, I see our resident lawyer friend is not here with us this morning, so I know he's got a good sense of humor, and I had a few lawyer jokes that I'm going to tell. I'll make sure I pass them on to him. Now, what's the difference between a lawyer and a herd of buffalo? The lawyer charges more. What's the problem with lawyer jokes? Lawyers don't think they're funny, and no one else thinks they're jokes. And why won't sharks attack lawyers? Professional courtesy. I know. Last one. What do you have when a lawyer is buried up to his neck in sand? Not enough sand. Well, it may not be appropriate, I suppose, in one sense, to be telling bad lawyer jokes from a pulpit on a Sunday morning, but there's one thing that we can agree on, it seems, at least with this particular occupation. There is a stereotypical kind of perception of a lawyer. It's a tough job for lawyers to interpret. I was going to say bend, but that's not what I mean. Interpret the law in areas that pose true ethical dilemmas many times for them. It's a struggle, especially if they're in criminal law, to understand what it is. And we all watch lawyer shows on TV, but the reality is, for lawyers, it is a very tough job. They have to determine, sometimes change and often weed out the truth that's buried deep within vaguely worded laws. Truth for lawyers, unfortunately, can be a moving target and hard to aim at and take down. And this morning, I want us to consider not just a truth about life, but something very fundamental in our Christian life and faith. We want to consider the truth about life as we consider Jesus' words in the Gospel of John and in his replies to Pilate in particular. And as we do, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray the words of my mouth and meditation of my mind will be acceptable to you and to your people this day. Help us, Lord, to consider that very definite small article, that little word, the, in Jesus' statements about truth. We pray this in his name. Amen. Now, as I said, today is a special Sunday for a number of reasons. It's a Sunday that will be remembered by some and not so much by others. Today is the special Sunday partly because it's the last Sunday of the church's liturgical, the church's calendar year. This Sunday is known, as I've been referencing, as Christ the King Sunday, the Feast of Christ the King, the Reign of Christ, whatever titles, they all mean the same. Next Sunday, then, would be the first Sunday of our church year and would also be, as was mentioned as well, the first Sunday in our Advent season. And many of you may not know that this Sunday is known as Christ the King Sunday because lots of churches don't mention it. We do at least mention it since I've been here, I know. But I know in the churches that I spent time in as a younger person and whatnot, Christ the King Sunday was not mentioned much in church. This particular day was actually an agreement set up by churches around the world pretty much in 1925. And the point of this particular title for this Sunday is that nations would see that the church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state, that leaders and nations would see that they are bound to give respect to Christ, and lastly, that the faithful would gain strength and courage from the celebration of this feast as we are reminded that Christ must reign in our hearts, minds, wills, and bodies. And as I reflected on those concepts in particular, church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state. I had a direction that I was feeling I wanted to go in this particular message, and then something touched me, I guess the Spirit of God, something that's been on my mind for some time, something that's difficult to even speak from the pulpit in this day and age. And it's not the first time this has happened. And a particular gentleman's name came to mind. Some of you may know this name, others it might be new. The name is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Christian theologian. He was born in 1906, and he died on the 9th of April, 1945. He was imprisoned because of his stand on this issue today of Christ being the King, that the church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state. And he was imprisoned most of the war. He was imprisoned before the war even began. He wrote while he was in prison, wrote a lot of books, and a lot of things that have been published after his death. He was going to be set free, but as many prisoners, especially political and religious prisoners, were treated, April 9th, 1945, the Germans knew the war was ending, and they put him to death. He was outspoken in so many ways about Christ the King, that the church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state. He spoke openly and very loudly, knowing he would be imprisoned, because he spoke on many things, but in particular today's focus, two scriptures. One from John 18 that we read today. "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We live in an age today when it's difficult for a minister of any denomination, as it seems, some more than others, to interpret what those words mean. Bonhoeffer lost his life over it. The German Nazi Party that was involved from pre-war, from 33 on, told the church what they could believe. And if they decided not to agree, they were imprisoned or put to death immediately. The Nazi Party said that any church leaders, ministers, priests, elders, who had any Jewish background in anywhere in their history could no longer be a part of the church. And fortunately, many of them disappeared. The church did not stand behind them. Bonhoeffer, one of them. We live in a world today where there are many ways, it seems, and many denominations and many people want to interpret that scripture from John 14 this way. Jesus said, "I am a way and a truth and a life. Anyone comes to the Father," period. It's hard in the world in which we live to say that our King is the only King, that our King is Jesus, and that Jesus' words alone say that He is the truth, He is the way, and He is the life. I have colleagues in this denomination and others who would have problems with me making this statement today. In fact, I can lose some friends knowing that I'm making this statement today. And it may seem trivial to many of you, because if you've grown up in the church, as we all have in many ways, we take it for granted that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We just take it for granted. That's it. But we are being pressured from outside constantly, folks, as a church, not as a denomination, as a church with a capital C, to give up that statement that Jesus makes to Pilate and that he makes in John 14. We are being pressured to believe all things get us to where we need to go. It's why very often I try to dispel the concept, or put to side, maybe is the better way to put it, the concept of heaven. Because when we want to get just to get to heaven after we die, it's easy then to say that there is all kinds of ways and all kinds of truths and all kinds of different lifestyles that will get us there. Because that's all that life's about. And Jesus is not saying that. It's a fundamental difference between this faith, as I've been pointing out, especially as we approach Christmas, and then right after that, Easter. The Christian faith is all about King Jesus. It's all about His kingship. It's all about Him being the way, the truth, and the life. And it's a hard one to swallow, especially when there is pressure from outside. Pressure that is against the statement of why we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, that first one I read to you. That nations would see that the church has a right to freedom and immunity from the state. That they cannot tell us what to believe. And yet, it's happening. You know, when you get into arguments, especially when you get into arguments in social media, you know the argument is going nowhere fast as soon as somebody mentions either Hitler or Nazis, because then people start calling each other names. You know, oh, you're just Nazis. You're just like Hitler. And then the conversation's over. There's a problem with that, because we're making that a minor thing. A lot of you are old enough here to remember what that world was like. A lot of you in this room are old enough to remember what that world entailed. They had an iron fist that said, this is what you're going to believe about everything, not just your religion, about everything. And if you don't want to believe this, you're out. And out meant some horrifying things for some people. My statement today about King Jesus for us to be considering as we move into Advent is a deadly serious one, folks. That nations would see that the church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state, and that we will believe what God tells us to believe as we see it in Scripture, and not what we're being told by the world. People aren't being imprisoned yet. And I'm not trying to be raise scare tactics here by that. But it's subtle right now. It's subtle right now. And the Presbyterian Church, like other churches, the Baptist Church, pick a denomination. What's the big struggle today? Yeah, nobody's going to say it out loud. Sexual orientation. It's the word that nobody wants to talk about. And I'm not talking about it today. But it's that kind of pressure that we're getting. It's going to come down to a point of choose either a way or the way. It's happened before. It will happen again, but the hope that we have, the promise that we have, is that King Jesus is in fact King Jesus. And as we read in Revelation, He is here to reign forever. And those who know His voice will hear it and obey it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer had to make a hard choice in his life that he knew would cause his life to be ended. He never saw his family again. And I know other people personally other people who were imprisoned during the war and never saw their families again. Or, in two cases, when they finally did, it was on their deathbeds. They spent years in prison. Jesus is King. Jesus is King of all of us. And let us remember that He loves us and forgives us and embraces us, just like demonstrated with the children today, as members of His family. Amen. Sisters and brothers, we worship the One who stands at the beginning and at the end of history, the God for whom all time is now. Every day we have a chance to participate in the work that God is doing in this world. So by bringing our gifts each week, by offering our lives each day, we affirm our trust in a power beyond violence, beyond greed. Let us gladly now offer who we are and what we hold in service to God with our offerings and tithes. Holy God, You are King, and we thank You for the many blessings that You do truly send down into our midst. Take this offering, Lord, and use it to Your glory, to Your kingdom here on earth. And we thank You, and we ask again that blessing that it may be used to Your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, again, this is the time when we come to pray for others. And I know I've said this many times already. I only want to emphasize it because it touches me so greatly. I have been to other churches where we've had this time to offer names and it's dead silence. And that's fine. But it's a great step of faith on your part as a body of Christ to be reaching out and mentioning these names in your life, because we all know somebody that's sick. We all know somebody that needs help. We all know somebody that's in a dark place in their life, possibly. And this is the time to offer those names. It's an act of faith, faithful prayer, when we do that. How it works? Mystery, I guess, in that sense. But it's a promise of God that he hears us and answers. So let's bow our heads and pray. Holy God, we don't even know how to pray when it comes right down to it in so many ways, but Jesus invites us into this life that he shares with us and asks us to talk and pray. And that if we read in Scripture that when we don't even know what to say, your Spirit speaks for us. So, Holy Spirit, move in our midst. Move on the minds and hearts of every person in this room today. And there are many people in this room who are in need. And Lord, you know who they are. They're rattling through my head right now, and many people here are thinking of one another. We take a moment now, Lord, to offer names out loud, this act of faith, that when we hear this person's name, we don't know what's going on in their life, but you do, and by coming together, you're in our presence, it's a promise of God, and you hear and act. So, Lord, we take that moment now, and we offer these names to you. Thank you, Lord, for these names, one spoken out loud, one spoken in silence. And thank you for prayer, Lord, this wonderful gift that you give us, that we can speak to you, that we can hear in the silence somehow your voice quietly speaking to us. It's a mystery what prayer is, but you tell us to do it. And you are faithful in that promise that you will answer prayer. We know that answers sometimes can be confusing. Answers can sometimes seem just not happening in some way. But you do listen, Lord. You tell us that. You do answer prayer. We can read all through Scripture people praying to you and you responding, not always with the way they wanted. Lord, I pray for this congregation. And as I close this prayer, bless this congregation, Lord. Every single person that's here is struggling with something in their lives, small or big, physical or otherwise. And I pray that you will bless them, Lord, and anoint them and work in their lives. Holy God, you are our King, and we honor you today in this prayer. And we offer it in the name of Jesus as we are instructed to do. Because there is power in that name. There is power in that name, King Jesus. Amen. Join together in our final hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, number 487. today those 3 points I made that were part of the edict in 1925. The last one is for our challenge for this week. So that we, the faithful, would gain strength and courage from the celebration of Christ the King, as we are reminded that Christ must reign in our hearts, minds, wills, and bodies. And that's our challenge for this week. And as we do this by the power of Christ. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and your coming in, in your lying down and your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day, King Jesus in that day, in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.